Myers, center field. That'll be deep enough. DeShields makes the play. And Mondesi singles, steals second. He goes to third on a base hit and scores the go-ahead run.
Why, that's how the stolen base affects baseball. Mondesi gets on base, he steals second, moves to third, scores on a sack fly. That's called manufacturing a run, and it was the winning run for the Royals last night. They knocked it off the Indians 8-6. Hallelujah. The Royals snap a 7-game losing streak. They're now 15-28. They avoid that 8th straight loss. Whit Merrifield, a 3-run homer. Royals come back from two deficits to beat the Indians 8-6, and they snap that 7-game losing streak. Mikel Franco delivered the go-ahead sack fly, as you heard there in the 8th inning. The Royals bullpen was superb, holding the Indians to 1 run over 4 2/3. 2 scoreless innings from Greg Holland. Scott Barlow earned his 2nd save. Royals back in action tonight at 5:10. They're in Cleveland. Danny Duffy on the hill for the boys in blue. Record of 2-3, at ERA of 4.83. Bad news, Jorge Soler sent to the injured list. Good news, Salvador Perez is getting close to coming back for the Royals in their offense. Good to see Witt pop a 3-run homer. He's been struggling. His batting average down to about .249. Admired in a 10-for-65 slump, and he rarely has those. So the Royals do get a win last night, and they're now 15-28. And our predictions before the season, in case anybody's wondering, I said 23-37. The Royals now have to go 8-9 to reach that mark. A 7-game losing streak really messed my prediction up, it looks like. And it helped you because you said 18-42. So the Royals got to go 3-14 to match 18. It's going to be probably 20. It's 21.
20-40.
Yeah, it's 20-40. Yeah, which is not good because that's a winning percentage of 33%. That's one out of every three. But there is an outstanding pitcher. I think it's Vanderbilt, the kid that threw a no-hitter in the College World Series that might be the number one overall pick. And the Royals right now are percentage points out of being the worst team so they could get the number one pick so they could stockpile their pitching again. So, you know, like some people have said before, teams are tanking. The Royals are not tanking, but if you're going to lose, you might as well get the best pick.
Yeah.
You know? At least they'll see how that works out. All right, a lot of volleyball from last night and a lot of positive results for our area volleyball teams.
Yes, I actually had the wrong date pulled up there. The scores from last night, Red Cloud Triangular Beloit improves to 3-1 with a couple wins last night over Republic County. They won in 2, and then they beat the host school, Red Cloud, in 3. Again, moving to 3-1 with those victories. Red Cloud in Republic County. Republic County actually won that one in 2 in the other match there last night. St. John's Tipton Quad, the Lady Jays, are now 6-0 on the season as they beat Chase in 2, and then they beat Southern Cloud in 2, and then they beat Pike Valley in 2 in the nightcap. So, again, St. John's Tipton goes 3-0. Southern Cloud went 2-1 on the night. They beat Pike Valley in 2. They beat Chase in 2, and then Pike Valley beat Chase in 2 in the other match there in Beloit. Rock Hills Triangular, Thunder Ridge goes 2-0 to improve to 8-0 on the season. They beat Osborne in 3 and then beat the host Rock Hills in 2. Osborne beat Rock Hills in 3 in the first match of the day there yesterday. Lakeside is now 4-0 on the season. They had 2 matches against Tescott last night. They won both of those in 2. And then the Natoma Triangular, Lincoln over Natoma in 2. Sylvan Lucas defeated Lincoln in 2. And then Sylvan Lucas went 2-0 on the night, beating Natoma in 2 in the nightcap as well. And then Smith Center, the Lady Red, are now 4-0 on the season as they went to the Stockton Triangular and picked up wins over Hoxie and Stockton, both in 2 sets. So, again, Smith Center now 4-0. So, Concordia was actually at Abilene last night in NCKL play as well, and they split their 2 matches with the Cowgirls. So if you missed any of those scores, if you want the full scores from the sets, they're all posted at ncksports.com. As always, you can always go to ncksports.com to see the latest schedule for the teams here in the North Stalactitis Association, Northern Plains League, and Smith Center and Concordia as well. Again, ncksports.com. Coming up here this evening, we remind everybody we have high school football locker room chats on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. We'll begin around 5:10, talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge football this evening. And if you want to listen tomorrow night as well, we have head coaches from St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas on our high school football locker room chat. So stay tuned for all those coming up here tonight and tomorrow night on Katy Country 94.
All right, we'll have more high school volleyball live video stream tomorrow night. TMP at Beloit. TMP really good. I mean, that's who Beloit met in the sub-state finals a year ago, and Beloit won. And I remember talking with some folks from TMP after that match, and I said, man, you guys are going to be loaded next year. And they said, yeah, we hope so. They should be really good this year. That's going to be a major test for Beloit volleyball team that's a little bit more experienced, obviously, compared to last year. So quite the test. Tomorrow, it's a best 3 out of 5 varsity match between TMP and Beloit in Beloit. And the JV match will start at 5 o'clock, best 2 out of 3, followed by the varsity. We'll have both those matches live video stream at nckssports.com. Be the Bullet Trojan channel. You want to go back and watch any of the Bullet football, basketball, volleyball matches, any of that, you can go back, access the archives, and move on from there. You can even download now copies of these games to your computer. It's a new feature we added there at nckssports.com, Be the Bullet Trojan channel. So we look forward to all of that. Okay, college football. Baylor, Louisiana Tech postponed. That's the third Big 12 game for this weekend postponed. Baylor's 2020 season opener against Louisiana Tech, originally scheduled for this Saturday in Waco, has been postponed indefinitely. The schools announced that yesterday after the Bulldogs had 38 players test positive after Hurricane Laura hit Louisiana late last month. That prompted many players to move out of Ruston for more than a week, which caused problems with contact tracing. The schools do not share a common bye week and will monitor dates during the season in the hopes of making up the out-of-conference matchup. Baylor, Louisiana Tech is postponed indefinitely. I don't know how you're going to make that up.
No,
you're really going to want to make that up in the middle of conference season or later in the conference, after conference?
I think it's probably worth it if you don't have a mutual bye week.
Yeah, I just don't think it's worth messing with, which means K-State's affected by this, but in a positive way. They move up. Well, it depends if you like to get up earlier. 11 a.m. kickoff, Arkansas State, K-State on Fox. So they go from 2:30 to 11 a.m. KU will be in action Saturday at 9 p.m. So you got K-State at 11 a.m. If you like to watch both teams, you got a nice healthy break in between. 11 a.m. K-State against Arkansas State. And then 9 p.m. KU hosting Coastal Carolina. You can hear that with pregame at 8:30 on Z96.3 Lake. You're home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. We'll have the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us tomorrow to talk about that football matchup. That's a team that beat KU in Lawrence a couple years ago, if you remember, 12-7. All right, so if you're an NFL football fan, it depends on what team you're cheering for, whether you're excited or not. All right? If you are a fan of the Detroit Lions, you're probably not super excited. If you're a fan of the Chiefs, you're super pumped and can't wait to get going. If you're a Denver Bronco fan, you probably had some cautious optimism that maybe this team could maybe get a wild card. I don't think Bronco fans think they're going to win the division and beat Patrick Mahomes unless the Chiefs have injuries. But things are a little bit harder now for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer because he's a good dude. Denver Broncos star pass rusher Von Miller's 2020 season over before it even began. An MRI on Tuesday confirming that Miller has suffered a season-ending tendon injury. According to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, the injury is expected to need surgery, and there have been reports that Miller has seen a foot specialist in Green Bay for a second opinion, but word is that they fear it's a season-ending injury and that he'll be out and he'll have to have surgery. What's weird about the play, it was a freak injury. It was a practice held indoors due to the blizzard hitting the Denver area. The Broncos weren't even in full pads during the session, and Miller in shells is said to have injured himself in what is being described as a unique and freak injury. So a bad, bad break for Von Miller, who had COVID-19 earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not been a good 2020 for Von Miller. He'll add to the list of people that can't stand 2020, probably.
Yeah.
So Von Miller is out reportedly for the season, although he is trying to get a second opinion. That is a big blow to the Denver Bronco football team and their defense.
Yeah, it's not often that the second opinion goes any better than the first.
So, not usually, not with tendons.
It's not looking great for Miller.
Now, the Chiefs are going to start their season tomorrow night on Z96.3 Lake, 6 o'clock pregame and 7:20 kickoff. Chiefs welcoming the Texans to town. Hope the Chiefs don't fall behind 24-0 again like they did in the playoffs to the Texans. But if they do, we know that they can come back, clearly, and blow them out, 51-31. Practices have gone pretty well for the Chiefs, according to all reports. And here's your injury report, and here's the good news. Travis Kelce, limited participant Monday with a knee, but he was good to go on Tuesday. Derek Nnadi, ankle, he's good to go, full participant yesterday. Darrell Williams, running back, hamstring, full participant. Alex Okafor, calf injury, full participant. Juan Thornhill, knee, full participant. Looks like Thornhill maybe he's ready to go tomorrow night. That's amazing what they can do with ACLs now. Remember, he got hurt last regular season game of the year in December.
Yeah.
And now we're 9 months later and he's going. That's crazy. Deion Yelder, tied in, full participant. So the Chiefs are in pretty good shape when it comes to that. The Texans have apparently followed the Chiefs' lead and given out a ton of money. They made Deshaun Watson the highest-paid quarterback in regards to his average salary the next 4 years. Mahomes, the highest-paid quarterback, but Watson gets more over the next 4 years, so he's taken care of. And then the Texans dished out the highest-paid contract to a non-quarterback, if I read that correctly yesterday, that was the Cardinals that did that with DeAndre Hopkins. I forgot Hopkins. I didn't forget, but I keep thinking Hopkins is a Texan. Hopkins actually got that money with the Cardinals. So
He should be with the Texans.
Should
probably,
be. But. I don't know why they could trade him away. Maybe that's so they have enough money to give Deshaun Watson a buttload of cash. I don't know. But, okay, so I'll pull back on that one. The Texans did spend a lot of money, but just on the one player, not the two. Hopkins, of course, is with the Cardinals now. And I think the Chiefs are very happy that DeAndre Hopkins, they don't have to defend him one-on-one on the outside.
Yeah, I think anybody that doesn't have to do that is pretty happy.
Yeah. David Johnson, the running back they got from the Cardinals, he said he's determined to prove that this was not a mistake by the Texans when it comes to the trade. So we'll see how the Texans run the football with David Johnson. The Chiefs were not good against the run until the last six games of the season where they really improved. And I think that's where I'm really going to be looking at tomorrow night. I expect the Chiefs offense to be fine. Of course it should be. Yeah, it might be a little rusty. But the defense, that's where I'm really going to be interested to see how this defense looks in the second year under Steve Spagnuolo. And the other wild card of this game tomorrow night, we'll talk about more tomorrow on the Sports Ticket, is there has been no preseason. So we don't know, you know, there's going to be rust for both these teams. Mm-hmm. For every single team in the NFL, there's going to be rust early on. How much rust? You know, is it going to be like, I mean, it might not be that bad for the Chiefs with all the continuity they have. They do have, you know, a different offensive lineman that they have to break in. They've got a new running back, first-round pick in Clyde Edwards-Helaire because Damian Williams opted out. So there are a few new faces for the Chiefs on offense, but all in all, it's pretty much the same group. And we'll see if Andy Reid has any new wrinkles because he said he's been working on them during the offseason. So the Chiefs start their season tomorrow night, 7:20 kickoff, 6 o'clock pregame as they'll battle the Houston Texans at Arrowhead with about 16,000 people in attendance, which I still must say this. I saw somebody post this on social media yesterday, a broadcaster, and I agree with this person. Denver Broncos, I think their third game of the year, they're going to allow 5,700 fans. So there are less tickets available, so demand is high because a lot of people want to go to the game. But is it really worth paying $500 to watch the Chiefs tomorrow night with only 20% capacity? It won't be the same. But for some people, apparently it is. There are a lot of people paying $500 or more a ticket just to be one of those 16,000 tomorrow night so the Chiefs can hang their banner. Which, listen, if it was a regular situation and it was 80,000 fans, I might have paid really good money to go to this tomorrow night. Yeah. I might have. It was certainly something that crossed my mind, but there's no way I'm paying that much money to go sit in a 4/5 or 80% empty stadium. It's just not going to be the same. I mean, it's going to be better than no fans, don't get me wrong, but it's just not going to be the same. I've been to Arrowhead. What makes Arrowhead is all the tailgating out in the parking lot and the place is packed and it's roaring. That's what makes Arrowhead. And I am glad they're going to have fans there, but 25%, I guess I can't fully invest that much money knowing I'm not getting the full experience. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you're paying a lot of money for not a full experience.
Yeah. I just looked it up on StubHub yesterday just for the fun of it, and it's like the corner's up way up higher, like $175 just to get in. If you want a good seat, it is. It's $500 to get in, and it's like, okay, I'm going to pass on that.
And they're still charging parking, I would assume, probably?
I would guess, yeah.
That's, you know, 40 to 60
bucks. Have that ahead of time. And
yeah, you're gonna drop 100 at the game just in parking and food or beer, easy. And then 175 per ticket, so they took your kid. There's $350. By the way, you said StubHub?
Yeah.
And you said 175. Did you go any further? Because there's fees on top of that too.
Yeah.
So StubHub, that's probably two and a quarter.
Put their fees into the regular price.
Which is annoying.
Some of them they do.
Which is annoying.
But StubHub does not.
I'll bet you that's $225 a ticket with all the fees. Easy $225, and that's $450. Then you add in concessions and beers, and there's $500 easy. And then parking, you're looking at $600 just to go to the game for two people.
Oh yeah.
For a capacity of 16,000 people.
Yeah.
To sit way up in the nosebleed and then look down below and see all these empty seats that you can't sit in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's just, you know, I might regret it down the line, but you know what? The Chiefs are going to win it all this year and the next year and the year after. I'm going to have all kinds of opportunities to go see
exactly.
a banner, right?
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Of course, this could be the
only. I'm going to have no regrets about not going to that game tomorrow night.
I went to the Royals when they hung the banner, the opening day game. Me and BP and his wife and my wife, we went, and that was a great experience for them to hang the banner, and that was pretty cool. And they opened up with the Mets, who they had just beaten in the World Series the year before, and that was really cool. It was neat because I figured that was the only time I'll ever see they ever had the opportunity. Whereas with the Chiefs, I feel like there will be more opportunities. Whereas the Royals, I felt like that was the one thing. The Royals weren't going to repeat, and I knew the Royals were probably going to be broken up. So I think, and I didn't pay $500 a ticket, I can tell you that right now. It wasn't that bad at all, which, you know, at that time. But now, I think there's a better chance I'll have another opportunity, don't you think?
Well, yeah, with the Chiefs for sure,
With number 15 at quarterback. Okay, so I have to pick my NFL picks for my buddy Todd. He owes me a case of Corona now, or maybe it's two cases. I can't remember. Did I say Corona? I meant pop. So, Corona pop. So, actually, it's not Corona. It used to be Corona was our bet because that was what we both kind of liked there for a while. He's a buddy of mine from Omaha, and he sends me his playoff picks, and I send my playoff picks. We've done this for years, and I've actually come out ahead on this thing, but it's kind of gone in spells. Like, I'll won the first couple years, and he won 2 years, and I won 2 years, he won 2 years, and now I won the last 2 years. But he hasn't paid up yet the last 2 years because we haven't seen each other very often. He has kids. He's busy. I have kids. I'm busy. And then, of course, with COVID, we were going to play golf together and meet halfway, and that didn't happen. So he owes me, I think, at least a case of my favorite beverage. Maybe it's two. I can't keep track. I'm winning so much. No, I'm just kidding. So I've got to figure out my picks this year. So let's go through this real quick, and then John Betts will be on with us after the NBA playoff stuff. Well, actually, you know what? I got to figure this out today. You got to help me on this. So NFC West, we got the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Cardinals. Who we thinking here, man? Who we thinking?
NFC West, I'm going to pick Seattle this year.
Seattle?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I like that pick. I you know, actually, that's what I liked as well. So I was going to go with that. I'm not copying you. The NFC North, you got the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Lions.
I'm going to go to Green Bay.
You're going to go Green Bay? I'm going to go – I think the Bears will be better if Nick Foles is their quarterback. Whether he will be or not, I don't know. I'll go with Minnesota. I think the Packers didn't help Aaron Rodgers very much in the draft.
Yeah, that's probably
if he gets hurt, Jordan loves your quarterback. I don't know if that's a good thing. In the East, we got the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Redskins. God, it hurts me because it. I don't like relying on the Cowboys very often, but they are the most talented team.
It seems like, you know, they go in every other year type of deal, too. They have a good season. I'm going to pick Dallas.
You're going to pick Dallas? Yeah. All right. In the NFC South, this is the Buccaneers with Brady. That's who a lot of people are going to pick. The Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers. The Saints, the last 3 years, have been knocked out on the final play of each of their playoff losses. That team is due to catch some breaks. I'm going to stick with the Saints. I think everybody's buying into Tom Brady and the Bucs. I think the Bucs will probably make the playoffs, but I'll take the Saints.
Yes.
You agree with that?
I'm Saints, yeah. I'm riding the Saints.
All right. So the two wild cards in
there's
NFC.
There's three of them now, remember?
Oh, that's right. There's three. Okay. All right. So your three wild cards, who you got?
I got the Eagles, okay. Vikings, and Buccaneers.
Philly, Minnesota, and Tampa Bay. I've got Tampa Bay, Green Bay. And you didn't have the 49ers making the playoffs? Okay.
Oh, no, change the Buccaneers to the 49ers.
So
yeah.
So the Bucs with Tom Brady and Gronkowski out?
Knock them out.
All right. I'll go Tampa
Bay.
It's
too much height.
I'll go Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and the 49ers. And you're going Philly, Minnesota.
I bought into that Bucs hype that I had thought I had to have them in there.
So, got sucked in.
Yeah.
Got sucked in. Is there a sleeper in the NFC for you?
Kind of, I guess.
I tell you, the Arizona Cardinals are an interesting team.
They
Kyler
are.
Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, but they play in such a tough division.
Yeah.
The Rams could finish last this year. I think the Bears with Nick Foles could be – their defense is really good. And if Nick Foles – remember, just a couple years ago, they won this division. Nick Foles is their quarterback. I just don't buy into Trubisky's hype. But we shall see. All right, the AFC – we've got the AFC North. Who are you picking AFC North?
AFC North.
Baltimore. I'm going to take Baltimore.
Yeah, Ravens.
I think Big Ben will make them better, obviously. Of course, in the AFC West, we're taking the Chiefs, right?
Yes.
That's an easy one. How about the AFC East? No Tom Brady, but Cam Newton's there. Josh Allen, the Bills improved. The Jets got Sam Darnold. The Dolphins have Tua, although he's not going to start the year. Dolphins should be improved. I'm going to stick with the Patriots. I think Cam Newton's going to be okay there. I think they'll find a way to win the division. It won't be easy, but I just think they're in the right division. I think the Bills, I'm not fully bought in on Josh Allen yet. I'll take New England.
I think too many people left that defense and are sitting out for New England. I'm going to pick the Bills.
Okay, that's true, although they've got a great coach.
They do.
In the AFC South, we've got the Texans, the Titans, the Colts, and the Jaguars.
I'll go Houston.
Titans just picked up Clowney.
Yeah.
Are you going to go Houston?
I'm going to go Houston.
All right, I'll go Houston as well. All right, time for our three wild cards. I'm going to take Tennessee as a wild card.
That's one of mine, too.
I'll take Pittsburgh as a wild card, assuming that Big Ben is healthy all year.
Yeah,
you got 10 in Pittsburgh.
Those two, yeah.
And then who's our third one?
I'm gonna go...
I would have said Broncos maybe. Von Miller's a big loss.
I'm going to go...
Colts got Phillip Rivers. You know that's going to put him over the top. Got the Browns at Baker. Browns were the pick last
year. I don't know
year.
If I can... I know I said that they lost three defensive guys, but... Or important defensive players, but I don't know if I can just completely kick the Patriots all the way out.
So you go New England?
I'll give New England the last one.
I'll go with the Bills. I'll go with the Bills. So there's our picks for NFL, and of course the season starts tomorrow. Number one seed in AFC will be?
The only number one gets
a home field throughout the playoffs, remember, and gets a bye.
I'll say the Chiefs get it done.
Chiefs get a number one? Yeah. All right. And then the NFC, who gets the number one?
Number one NFC, Seattle.
And they're in a very tough division. You say in Seattle, I'll say...
I like Seattle this year for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Number one seed. You know, I'll go with the Saints. I'll stick with the Saints. I'll go with them as a number one seed. Even though Tom Brady's there, I'm not buying the Panthers with Teddy Bridgewater. The Falcons have fallen off. That division's a little bit easier than the Seattle division. Thus, I pick New Orleans to get the one seed instead of Seattle because of the division's weaker. So you know that people can take those predictions to the bank, guaranteed.
100%.
To fail and go broke. Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. NBA playoffs last night. The Heat get it done. The number one seed is out in the Eastern Conference.
Butler and Matthews. Butler. Corkscrews. Dragic. Bullseye. Goran Dragic.
Well, Giannis did not play out with ankle injury. The Bucks lose 103-94. Number one seed in the East is out. Giannis, when he did play, the Heat were up 3-0. So I can't say that Giannis didn't play as to why they lost this series. I think if there's a team that's been affected by the bubble more than any other team, it was the Bucks. They had all this momentum. They were playing great. They were the best team in the NBA record-wise. And the COVID just really crushed them. They never did find it again. Even in those 8 games before the seeding games, they just never found it.
No.
I just think if there's a team that really was affected by COVID-19 in regards to losing all their mojo, it was the Bucks. And I think they feed off a home court too, which most teams do. And I feel sad. I feel a little bit bad for the Bucks in Milwaukee. And then, of course, there are distractions, of course, with everything going on.
The sad thing about
the
Bucks
social,
is,
you know, with Jacob Blake.
Great season they had. Yeah. The thing they're going to be remembered for is the first team to say, hey, we're boycotting,
we're not playing. That's right.
That's
which many of the players
year.
May
which,
say
that's
cool.
That's not a bad,
it's
I'm not saying
important.
Right or wrong,
right,
I'm
sure.
just saying that's the thing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That they will be remembered for this season.
You're right about that. The Lakers win last night over the Rockets, 2-1. Now they lead that series 112-102. LeBron is now the all-time winningest NBA playoff player. He passed Derek Fisher's 161 wins, 162 in his postseason career. That's quite a number. Shows his longevity, how good he's been, how durable he is. LeBron 36 last night, but his defense. I mean, he made a couple of amazing blocks last night at the age of 35. He is the best player in the league. Giannis can win the MVP all he wants. LeBron is the most complete player in the league at 35. I mean, him and Kawhi are the two most complete players, and it's not relatively that close. Luka is in the top five. I put Luka and Greek the Freak right behind him, and I think Luka can get there, no doubt. I think he's got a little bit more work to go. Hey, he's only 21. I mean, there's time. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
Luka's going to be the best player in the league, I think, here very quickly. But Giannis, Giannis has all these great numbers. He's so athletic, but I'm not fully sold on Giannis in regards to being a great leader. But yet he's only 25, I believe, so there's plenty of time. But he doesn't have another superstar next to him. Chris Middleton got a max contract, but he's not a superstar. And Giannis could possibly leave and go somewhere else. The Bucks will throw all the money at him to keep him.
He doesn't sound like he wants to go anywhere else, but we'll see.
Well, I hope he stays there.
A lot of people say that, and then they end up leaving anyway.
Why would they say anything different? I hope he stays and he works it out. I just hope the Bucks can find somebody to go around him to make him legitimate, because it's kind of been overrated the last couple of years, even though they have a great regular season. How about Rajon Rondo, 21 points, 9 assists? That changes things for the Lakers. If he can do what he did last night and defensively had a big strip and steal Harden for a layup. And the Rockets had every chance to win that game last night, and they didn't. And the Rockets didn't get it done. Simple as that. Lakers did. LeBron was fantastic. Anthony Davis with 26. Harden had 33. Westbrook 30.
But I don't think the Rockets, I said it before the series, I know they blew out the Lakers in game one, but I don't think the Rockets, it's just overall, I think the Lakers are going to win the series in five. I'll stick to that. I think the Lakers will still finish it in five. Rockets may find one here, but I don't know. I just don't think the Rockets' way of playing wins a championship.
Absolutely not.
I just don't. Which means Mike D'Antoni is probably gone and out of a job. Mm. More on that in a moment. Raptors-Celtics game six tonight on ESPN at 5:30. Celtics have a chance to end the Raptors' defense of their NBA championship. Serge Ibaka may not play in that one for the Raptors. The Nuggets and the Clippers game four tonight on ESPN at 8 o'clock. Clippers up 2-1 in that series. You almost get the feeling the Clippers-Nuggets is going to go seven. The Nuggets are just known to go 7 games in all these series lately, last year and this year.
Yeah.
But that's a big game for the Nuggets. They don't want to go down 3-1, and they really had every chance, every opportunity to win game three and be up 2-1, and the Nuggets just didn't get it done because the Clippers locked down defensively and made the plays down the stretch with their stars, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I keep telling my oldest son, I said, listen, all you got to do to pick these series, who's got the most star power? I mean, just pick, who has the best player? Just the overall best player. I mean, the Raptors-Celtics series is simple. The Celtics have the best player. Mm-hmm. It's Jason Tatum. In the Clippers-Nuggets series, the Nuggets have two really good players, but who would you rather have, Jokic and Murray or George and Kawhi? Most people say George and Kawhi, but the Clippers are deeper than the Nuggets are. But you look at these series. I mean, Jimmy Butler, you could argue he was the best player in the series instead of Giannis. I mean, he played the best. And then, of course, LeBron's the best player in the Lakers series. I don't care how great James Harden is. LeBron's the best player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jimmy Butler's been playing well the whole playoffs. I mean, I would take him for Miami. I mean, they've lost one game in the playoffs.
Pretty impressive. The Golden Knights of Vegas win last night 3-0 to tie their series in NHL playoffs with the Stars at 1-1. Tonight it's the Lightning and the Islanders at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. Tampa Bay leads that best of 7, 1-0. And I'll check and see if there's anything else noteworthy in sports world, anything breaking. Usually Twitter provides me with that. We shall see. The ACC coaches will propose an all-inclusive NCAA basketball tournament. The coaches just finished the call and voted unanimously on this. We are talking about possibly some bubble basketball coming up in December, maybe even January. The idea of every team being included in NCAA tournament this year is spearheaded by Duke's Mike Krzyzewski. So what they're saying is the ACC is proposing that every single team that plays basketball is in the NCAA tournament this year. You know, I don't have a big problem with that because nobody got to play last year.
Yeah.
So that would give everybody a chance to be in this tournament, although there's going to be an asterisk. Like, did you really make the tournament? Hey, do I get my coaching bonus since I made the tournament?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to have to work that stuff out in the contract language, the mumbo-jumbo. But I just don't, I'm okay with it.
John Wood
don't
would
let that become a regular
and have everybody in the tournament.
Well, Bob Knight said it before, too.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't become a regular thing, because I think that the reason the tournament and selection show is so awesome, I mean, it kills the selection show, doesn't it?
Well, sure.
I mean, I guess you still have the seedings, but
to me,
the whole great part about the tournament is arguing about who's on the bubble and who isn't, and who's in and who isn't. Joe Lunardi just losing some of his job money because there's no talk of the bubble week in and week out during the season.
Yeah.
You know, guys are against this. Like guys like Joe Lunardi.
Bracketologists, yeah.
Bracketologists don't like this. I mean, they can still do their bracket, but they got to talk about seeding because they can't sit and go, well, you know, this team's got to win two of the next three to make it.
Yeah.
Wow.
These teams are going to play in this quadrant before they get to this part of the tournament.
Right. It's about, and you know that's how they'll do it. They'll turn around and try to break it down and save their job, I guess.